We heard the Sabe dance played by the Chicago Sinfonietta, led by Mei-Ann Chen, music of An Lang Huang from the Sabe Suite No. 2. It's from an album called Delights and Dances from the Harlem Quartet and Chicago Sinfonietta. And that's a pretty obvious choice. My guests are the executive director and artistic director of Wellspring, Corey Terry, and dancers. This is the premier modern dance company here in Kalamazoo, now over 40 seasons.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about what we might be expecting in this next season. Kate Yan Cho and Corey Terry, very nice to have you back for another little chat about
modern dance. Thank you
for having us.
Yes, always a pleasure to chat with you, Kara.
Well, it has been a few months. We did talk about the spring dance, which was at the Kalamazoo Nature Center. I think you got lucky with some of the weather. Maybe not so lucky.
Maybe not so lucky.
So were some of those performances affected?
Yes.
Yes. From heat more than any. We had some issues with rehearsals through the week and recording with rain. And then the heat was really a big factor in the weekend and resulted in the cancellation of part of one of the performances.
So no doubt you are very eager to figure out ways to get back into the controlled space of the Wellspring Theater, use lighting and design and all that stagecraft that you know so well because you know the space so well. Is that going to be possible?
We don't know.
We hope so.
So we can't really talk about definite plans to go back inside?
Well, we have plans, but we know that we may have to be very flexible about it.
And we are taking cues from some of our friends in Kalamazoo as well. For instance, the Gilmore Piano Festival hosted a Rising Stars event in our theater a few weeks ago. And kind of learning from how that's going for other organizations and hoping that that will inform our work. And we hope to have people in the theater with us. But we are certainly prepared and now have the knowledge and skills to put everything online if needed. We really don't want to do that, but we will do that if we have to so that we can keep bringing dance to the community, keeping the dancers moving, keeping everything moving forward.
Yes. The creativity, the urge to create was stifled badly when all of the planned performances were suddenly canceled. I know myself, I stopped wanting to do anything, to play music, practice. And so now that everyone has found ways to get back out there, even though there's challenges, there's hurdles and barriers that involve, filming performances and making it accessible online, the juices are flowing again. It's like, no, we can make it through this.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about some of the maybe dances you're thinking about, Corey, the choreography that is, swimming around in your mind.
Yeah, well, it's a slow reentry into the performing world, for sure. We have plans to do a repeat of the collaboration that we did a few years ago with Red Sea Pedestrians. And so we are busy recreating several of those pieces right now. And then we have some new choreography as well. One piece by Marissa Bianin that we're going to do for the fall and for the collaboration that's going to happen in March. So in addition to those things, we're also recreating some older works because one thing the pandemic did was make me in particular, but I think us as an organization really look back on the body of work that has been created over the last 40 years. And it feels like because things are really moving forward and changing, we want to honor the legacy that existed before COVID.
Right.
And so we're going to be recreating one duet from 1992, which has been really fun to watch that come to life. And that'll be danced by Alexis Harris and Carolyn Rabbers, and another trio as well. So we're going into the archives, we're creating new work, and we are recreating our Red Sea Pedestrian collaboration all at the same time.
It's all very exciting. There's a lot to look at, of course, in the 40 seasons of Wellspring Corrientarian Dancers. I'm sure not every piece spoke to you. With time passing, you're kind of a different person now to some degree. So these older pieces are resonating in the present with you. Like something about them says, this is relevant now.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I don't know if that's exactly... Like, for instance, the piece that I choreographed in 1992. I don't know if it's exactly relevant now, but it's relevant to the history of Wellspring. And it sort of gives a foundation to the current dancers who were not around at that point. So I think it has value in that. I will leave it to the audience to decide whether it has relevancy in the year 2021. It's pretty old school looking to me, but I do appreciate the fact that those were my roots and that's where I came from. And I think I have evolved and the company has certainly evolved a lot since then. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to look back at those works and appreciate them for what they were at that time.
Mm-hmm. You've kind of acquired new language or It's sort of grown... those were your tools and the way you talked through movement at the time.
Exactly.
So yeah, that'd be fascinating.
It is.
Kate, when are we going to hear about some of these things?
Well, everyone mark your calendars. October 15th will be a big day for Wellspring because that's when we will be releasing information about our fall concert, about our season memberships. We hope to make our new website live that day, which is it's a little bit more interactive and pretty and includes more videos so people can look back. One of the things that I'm sure we talked to you about this last year, Kara, but in this 40th season, we, as we looked back, realized how much we do have in the archive that we needed to digitize to be able to share. So we've been working on that project over the last 18 months and have more and more work that are in our archive that we are slowly rolling out and releasing to the community, to our audience. So that's all October 15th. There'll be more information about all of those things, and that's when sales will go live for season memberships so people can invest in this season with Wellspring Corrientarian Dancers.
Wow. Turning over a new leaf in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
With a brand new website design that will show some dancing. Mm-hmm. From the days past?
It will.
Wow. Do you have to clear original choreography with some sort of, copyright board?
Well, the choreography is ours.
There you go.
So
it's original.
As long as I say okay, then it's okay. But the music is another story.
True.
Right. But that does make me think about a few years ago. Was that 2018, the fall of 2018, when we did the concert that was... we had works from other choreographers that were classic works from modern dance history. Yvonne Rainer, Louis Fuller. We did an Eric Hawkins piece. So
there were artist rights involved.
There were, and that was quite a process that we had to go through. And, we certainly want to honor and put credit where credit is due. And so we went through that process. And I think that may be something we look at in the future, too, here and there. But certainly the Wellspring repertory is ours to bring forward and keep it alive.
Kate, this is your fifth year as executive director of Wellspring.
It is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you come from an executive director position before that?
I certainly did not, Kara. I had a 10-year career in higher education and student affairs. So I did student activities work and did event planning and leadership development for college students. But I have a bachelor's degree in dance performance, and dance has always been at the center of who I am. So to me, this position is the perfect blend of the things that I love. I do love administrative work. I love working with people. I love developing programs, but I also love dance. So this is, it's like a dream job for me.
Well, and you've recently been recognized by the MCACA, Michigan Council for the Arts and Cultural Affairs. That's a long series of initials. What will that part be for you?
Yeah, that I'm really excited, and I'm learning more and more every day. And I just want to say a thank you to Senator McCann, who was really a champion for me in this candidacy and getting into this position. But it's, you know, the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs is the board for the state that oversees arts and culture programming and funding. And so a major part of that body is distributing the funding that the state and the federal government have for arts and culture in Michigan. So I'll be part of that board and helping advance projects. And I just had a meeting with their director yesterday, and there's a lot of exciting collaborations and programs that are planned for the next few years. So I'm really thrilled to be able to represent Southwest Michigan in that capacity, because it's not had representation on the council for a while. So hoping to really bring some focus to Kalamazoo and just all of Southwest Michigan and all of the wonderful things that we're doing in terms of the arts here. So
I imagine it as a, oh boy, I get to pick projects and like things that I like. But that is probably the last part of it. And you need to collaborate. But really the most, to me, maybe the biggest part of the work is reaching people in power who don't feel tied to art.
Right.
Absolutely.
Arts advocacy is
that
what
is,
it's all about.
Yes, definitely a large part of it. And putting some checks and balances in how the funding is being distributed across the state. You know, certainly there are more people in certain parts of the state, so there may be a desire to push more funding in those places, but we really need to make sure that there is a fair and equitable access to this resource for the whole state. So I'm looking forward to that. I understand that traveling around the state is a part of this role as well, and visiting other communities and seeing what they're doing. So I'm looking forward to learning too and bringing that knowledge back to Kalamazoo as well.
You know, I talk to actors and dancers and musicians, often from small towns, who had one lifeline and, you know, a really small set of people that loved the same thing, and it only through that narrow path where was it possible. I'm sure you have talked to wonderful visiting artists, visiting dancers who have a similar thing. I was the only one in my town that was interested in ballet or dance. So I'm following you with that idea of keeping the hope alive everywhere.
Absolutely. I'm from a small town, fortunately, in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, and the arts are important there. And so that was definitely something that gave me a leg up. But I can see, as being someone from a small town, that is a hard path to carve out. And just speaking to my mother yesterday and saying, like, 10 years ago, if you would have told me I'd be sitting next to Corey, I'd be administering this work for a dance company, I'd be preparing to take this position on this council for the state of Michigan, I would have laughed in your face. But here I am, and it took a little while to carve this path and figure out how to bring all the things that I love into one place and to really continue to share the arts with people. And I'm on cloud nine right now. I really am.
Have auditions been part of recent months, Corey? Have you looked at or added any new members?
Yes, we have. As a matter of fact, they were virtual auditions, which was a new thing.
Yeah.
And
but
a little
you
challenging.
You could get submissions from anywhere that way.
Right. But so I did have to choose people who I'd never met before just by watching the work that they sent in on their audition tape. That was an interesting process. I did end up choosing two young ladies, one graduating from Grand Valley last year, and that's Emily McKee. And then another person, Angel, what's Angel
Sutton?
Angel Sutton, who graduated from Western's dance department last year. And so they have been busy taking class and learning work since Labor Day, and that's been really interesting and fun to have some younger people around.
I don't think I've ever asked what is the commitment of a company dancer.
What's the commitment?
Yeah, for Wellspring.
Monday through Friday, 10 to 2.
Okay.
We have class at 10 o'clock every day, and then we have rehearsals starting at noon every day.
And you're always focusing on the next, the fall show, the spring show, other showcases, Rad Fest.
Right. Yeah. Well, and the rehearsal has to do with us creating and recreating work and getting everybody to learn. And that is that's the meat of being a dancer is being in rehearsal every day and learning the work and mastering everything. And, you know, we get questions from the uninitiated all the time, like, how do you remember all those steps? How can you possibly do that? It's called rehearsing every day. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
It just becomes
part of your body.
Yeah.
So it's that commitment is imperative for a dancer. So that means that they have to schedule everything else around Wellspring's schedule. And then, of course, when we're performing, those are evening, usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday matinees. So you have to be free for the performances, too,
yeah.
as you well know.
Yeah, put it on your calendar now.
Put it on your calendar. And we, you know, have tried to be really organized about that so everybody knows what the commitment will be. But, yeah, it's been an interesting time. It's been difficult for young dancers through COVID.
Sure.
It's been hard for them to figure out a way to keep dancing because we weren't dancing together very much. Certainly not at the college level last year. We were on and off virtual and then in and then closed down and then, you know, as everybody was. But with dance, you know, you have to kind of be together and doing it as a class. So it's been challenging for everybody, but I feel like spirits are really up right now, as you were saying at the beginning. People are ready. The juices are flowing. And even though we realize that we have to be very prudent and cautious and careful, wearing our masks again, doing all the COVID protocols that we had to do last year, or we're doing them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it because that's what's keeping us going. So it's been great to have that to look forward to.
I have had to, I had, you know, a good handful of weeks worth of masks that I just used and used and used and thinking maybe I'd just be able to stop using them. And then I realized, no, I've got to look into more masks. Are there any Wellspring approved masks that dancers enjoy or can tolerate wearing as they dance? I'd be interested to know what they are and where they come from.
Well, Kate did some research about what people considered in the dance world to be the most useful, and we ordered a whole bunch of them last year. We gave out, I think, 3 to each dancer so that you could, you know, wash them and have enough to last the week.
Are they fabric? Are they well-fitted?
They're fabric.
Yeah, they're fabric and well-fitted. And we were fortunate to work with the station downtown Kalamazoo, the dancewear and dance studio, and she helped us identify what was available on the market and get those for us. But then we've also over time realized, too, that the KN95 disposables are very good.
They're
for this
good.
Too. And I teach fitness classes. This is what I wear to teach fitness in as well. Just sweat is a big factor, right? So
The biggest factor.
So the cloth masks get wet.
They get soggy.
Right.
Ugh.
So yeah, that was things I didn't think I would have to do. Research which masks are best and safest to wear while dancing. But
right.
That's what we did. And
yeah, we were able to take masks off last spring in June.
Mm-hmm.
because at that time the Delta variant hadn't really taken over.
Numbers were way down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was fantastic. And like you, we all thought, oh, maybe we will don't have to wear masks again in the fall, but no. We do.
Okay. Well, if anyone out there is like me, they're looking for good recommendations. So thank you for that, KN95.
I think these masks are fantastic. I can talk to you about it after.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the season ahead. Again, we mentioned this earlier, but if you just tuned in, Kate Yancho, the executive director, and Corey Terry, the artistic director of Wellspring Corytarian Dancers, are with me. And there is a website launch coming up. And that's not just a website launch, not a refresh. It's going to have the full season, tickets available, and a gallery of moving images to see and to celebrate 40 years of dance from Wellspring Corytarian Dancers. And I suppose you're putting together some packages for people to consider.
We are. And Carrie, you know, the thing that we've learned over the last 18 months, too, is that we have to be flexible, right? I mean, we're kind of good at that already as a dance organization. That's my dad joke for the day. we're planning the packages to include different types of experiences, certainly some that will be absolutely virtual, like the Corey's playlist, which is what we've done with the digitized rep, is releasing playlists throughout the season of works where Corey will provide a little bit of insight into here are some works and this is why I've chosen these ones to be on this playlist together. Those sorts of things will continue. We're also hoping to work again with our partners at the Stamped Robin on some choreography and cocktails events, and those worked perfectly fine as virtual events. We hope that they can be in person, but we're ready to shift and bend as we need to. We will have a fall concert. We will have a spring concert.
And
we'll say that. That's what we'll say. And then we'll figure out what they look like when we get there. And then we're also trying to infuse a few other special sorts of things into those membership packages. Maybe some behind the scenes looks, come to a dress rehearsal or things like that where you can get kind of, you know, see what happens behind Wellspring. So that's what we're working on. And we'll be sharing all of that information on October 15th. And it will be available for you to invest in Wellspring and Corytarian Dancers starting that day.
I imagine we'll probably come back and talk about the fall dance.
I would hope so.
When it's ready to go.
I would hope so. Yes. When we know more and we know what it looks like. So,
yeah. Yes. I mean, the today's interview was scheduled back in June, maybe.
Yeah.
We talked about
it
a long time ago. And so it's good to just get together and see what's where, you know, get a status check on the company. And it's, you know, you're all very forthcoming with what's going on.
Sure.
As much as we can be with what we know. So we do know, too, just to throw in the RadFest as well. So it'll be the 13th annual RadFest in 2022. And we are planning a hybrid event for that. So we will hopefully have some in-person elements, but we'll certainly be keeping some virtual elements as well, because we saw the reach for that event. We had people from 6 countries participating in RadFest last year, and we don't want to lose that momentum. So that, you know, there'll be more information about that. Submission process is open right now. People are submitting work to be considered for the festival. So we'll hopefully have a conversation with you on that later too, Kara.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I guess ten minutes ago, I was going to talk to Corey about the rehearsal process, because you were talking about daily practice, learning pieces through repetition so that they kind of get into your bones. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, starting rehearsals in a musical group, an orchestra or something. And at first, it seems like we're all kind of trying to remember or learn our own parts and not really hearing what else is going on. And it's all really disorganized and chaotic. And I could see there might be a parallel for dancers. Is it similar?
Sure, exactly a parallel. That's exactly how it is. You learn your steps and then you figure out how you fit into the whole picture.
And by the end of the process?
Yeah. By the end of the process, it all works like a well-oiled machine, if we're lucky.
You can count on that that partner, that trio dancer to be there and to, you know, catch you literally when you fall.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
It really is an ensemble thing. You know, they really, and you can see it too. I have the benefit, Kara, of getting to sit and watch it. You know, my office is in the theater, and so I will often just kind of slide out and see what's going on. And it is a beautiful process to watch it, to, you know, they've just started learning the choreography, so you can see the inner workings, you can see everybody kind of doing their part, and then to come watch it, you know, a few rehearsals down the road and see how it's all clicked in and the synergy and how it becomes them moving as one body together. It's definitely a process, and that is why they're there Monday through Friday. And, you know, that it does take time and practice to get that into the body and then to build that unity.
Yeah. Did the pandemic create a hesitancy to touch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. I did. I re-choreographed for the fall show last year. I re-choreographed, I would say, 98% of the lifts that were in some of those pieces because we weren't comfortable being so close to each other, even with the masks on. I spent a lot of time re-choreographing lifts, as a matter of fact, and then re-spacing some of the dances so that they could be a little further apart.
Now, and this is why we need to beat this virus.
Yeah, one of the many reasons.
The trust and intimacy of dance, has been damaged.
Yes. Oh. Although this year, I don't think we're going, I mean, we're all vaccinated now. Last fall, none of us were vaccinated, so that made a very big difference. So now we're vaccinated and we have our masks. I don't think I have any plans for re-choreographing any of the work because it seems like we are safe enough with the protocols that we are taking. We try to limit the exposure so that sometimes in rehearsals we won't do the full lift or intimate moment because we are going to save it for when we know we have to do it, either for a live audience or for the camera. But we're in a better place. Thankfully, we came out with these vaccinations to save our culture. And so we're doing our best within those limits.
Maybe, you know, a dance for Pfizer would be...
A dance for Pfizer, exactly.
Love it.
Well, now I'm just getting into silly speculation.
Oh, no,
but it's been wonderful to touch base again.
Yeah.
And we'll let our listeners know about fall concert when it's scheduled. And
absolutely.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us, Kara.
So
in person.
I know.
Now, I'm going to follow up with a highlight from an album I keep going back to. I hope I'm not overplaying it, but I find it very special and not fully classical. It's a duo between two harpists, Welsh harpist Katrin Finch and Senegalese kora player Sekou Keïtu. And the piece here tells a story. It's called 1677. It acknowledges the existence of slavery and Black resilience through this instrumental piece. I don't know. I just thought it might appeal to dancers, too.
Yeah.
Here it is. Thank you.